the rise and slow, painful fall of the indoor mall. Hi, everyone. It's Jeff, and this is another Plain English. Plain English is where we help you upgrade your skills in English. And we do this with stories about current events and trending topics. By listening here, you'll learn new words and ideas. You'll get thinking in English, and at plainenglish.com, we have all the support you need to upgrade your skills in your new language. So today's story is about the mall. Actually, Thursday's story is about the mall too. Today, we're going to talk about how the indoor mall became such a big part of American culture and how its time has perhaps passed. On Thursday, we'll take a look at something called a zombie mall. That's a mall that's not quite dead, but not exactly alive and well either. In the second half of every episode, we talk about an English expression. Today's is wander around. So listen up for that. It comes right at the beginning of the story, and then I'll show you how to use it later on. This is lesson 656, so that means the full lesson resources are at plainenglish.com/656. I think we're ready. Let's get going. In Mallrats, a movie from 1995, two teenage boys are dumped by their girlfriends. To kill the time and to heal the wounds, they wander around the mall together. In Terminator 2, assassin robots attack a character at the arcade. In Wonder Woman 1984, the superhero saves the day in a mall. If you only watched Mean Girls or Clueless, you might think the mall was just a place for girls. But if you had seen Superbad or Mallrats, you'd know that that's just not true. Oh, the mall. We take it for granted now. It's in movies, TV shows, books, songs, and advertisements, not to mention in our own daily lives. But the indoor mall is relatively new. The first fully enclosed shopping mall in the U.S. opened only in 1956. Southdale Center, in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota, had multiple levels of shops, an airy interior, fountains, and a courtyard. It was the first of many. By the 1980s, the mall had become the center of suburban social life. Malls had everything a shopper wanted. Most were two stories, totally enclosed, with heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. These malls featured large anchor department stores like Macy's, JCPenney, Lord and Taylor, Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom, and Sears. At these stores, you could buy a lawnmower or a tuxedo, a new mattress, or an expensive perfume. Outside the anchors, around the perimeter of the mall, you found specialty stores. They sold clothing, jewelry, music, accessories, gifts, books, electronics, and more. Each mall had a large food court with fast food chains and a few sit-down restaurants. The mall was also a place to hang out. Senior citizens would get there as soon as the doors opened, and they would walk laps around the vast corridors as the individual shops were still opening for the day. Parents would drop kids off at the mall, where they would spend hours walking around, socializing, and looking in the windows. Arcades provided a cheap form of entertainment. Malls were a staple of suburban life. Most of them were built well outside city centers, close to where people lived, and where there was plenty of room to build massive parking lots. The U.S. went through a large period of suburbanization in the post-war period. Many people left the city center to buy homes with yards and driveways. The mall was inextricably linked to the age of the automobile and the single-family suburban home. By the early 2000s, though, things started to change. People started shopping online. New big box stores like Walmart and Target offered a cheaper alternative to pricey department stores like Macy's and Sears. Cities, which for decades had been plagued with crime, were becoming safer. At the same time, it became clear that too many enclosed malls had been built. America had far more retail space per resident than other developed countries had. Older malls were starting to show their age. They looked dilapidated. Mall developers leaned into a few trends. First, they started building lifestyle centers. These are a hybrid between a traditional enclosed mall and a city-like shopping district. Lifestyle centers are open air, even in cold weather places. They have better landscaping and more interesting design. They have more sit-down restaurants and entertainment options like movie theaters and comedy clubs. Next, developers started experimenting with new types of tenants for the traditional enclosed malls. People don't want to go hang out at the mall like they used to. So mall owners started looking for new ways to get people in the door. They recruited movie theaters, fitness centers, and even grocery stores to take the big anchor spots. For many properties, that only forestalled the inevitable. The big anchors, Macy's, Sears, and countless regional chains, they've been closing stores for years. Federated, the parent company of Macy's, once had over 1,000 stores nationwide. Now, it operates half that. At its peak, Sears operated 3,500 stores in the United States. Today, it has 12. Culturally speaking, the mall is in decline. It's not where people want to spend their time anymore. Smartphones and social media have given young people a new outlet for socializing. Streaming has opened up new forms of entertainment at home. Younger people prioritize experiences over material goods. Some malls are doing just fine, but many are struggling. On Thursday's story, we'll talk about what happens to a mall when most of the people are gone. I was born in the 1980s, right in the middle of the mall's dominance in the popular culture. But I didn't live close enough to an indoor mall to experience it the way you see it in movies. The nearest one to my house was the Danbury Fair Mall. It's actually a good mall, and I did like it as a kid. There's a big carousel in the food court. It's huge. It has everything. But it was a little too far. It was about a 30-minute drive from my house, so it was just a little far to figure into my daily or weekly life. Anyway, the mall in pop culture, it's prominent in the movies from that time period, especially about teenagers. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Clueless, Back to the Future. There was even that movie called Mallrats, and later a song. How times change. I told you a while back how much I liked Better Call Saul. No spoilers, but a character works in a Cinnabon restaurant in an enclosed mall. The job is boring, lifeless, and monotonous. That's a far cry from how the mall is shown in movies from the 80s and 90s. Wander around. This is a great phrasal verb to know. To wander around is to move around a place in a casual, aimless manner. When you wander around, you don't have a specific direction or purpose. You're moving at a leisurely pace. You're not looking at your watch. You're not on a deadline. You don't have a planned route. When you wander around, the goal, the purpose, is the movement, the exploration, the discovery. There's no destination. And the key with wander around is that it's a physical place. You can't wander around a website. If you use wander around, you have to refer to a physical place. When I travel, I often go to cities. And when I get to a new city, I always take some time on the first day to just wander around. I just did this in Oaxaca, a city in the south of Mexico. My flight got there around noon. I settled into my room, and then I wandered around for a few hours. I walked around leisurely. I let my curiosity be my guide. I didn't follow a route. I didn't look at a map. I didn't have a destination in mind. The whole goal, the whole purpose, was to walk wherever my curiosity took me. That's wander around. Often in the movies, does this happen in real life? I'm not sure. Anyway, in the movies, if someone has a lot on their mind, they often wander around their own city at night. They walk around the streets, not with a destination in mind, but just for the sake of walking. I don't do that. If I have a lot on my mind and I can't sleep, I just toss and turn for hours. Maybe I should wander around a little bit to clear my head. You can wander around inside too. I like to wander around a bookstore. Bookstores are designed for people to wander around. There are so many sections. There are special displays. There are places to sit. There's always something to discover. If you like to read, you can wander around the bookstore for a few minutes or a few hours. You go from here to there. You stop. You read a little. You let your eyes scan the shelves. You walk slowly. you go back and check something you saw before. This is wander around. Now, when I go shopping, if it's not for books, I'm an in and out kind of a shopper. I don't like to wander around the mall. It stresses me out. I want an objective. I want to go to the store I need to go to. I want to get my stuff, and then I want to leave. I don't like to wander around the mall. But the mall was built for wandering. It was built for people who do like to wander around. There are lots of corridors. The escalators lead you to different places. There are fountains and food courts and entertainment and special displays. Every store has something different. If you like shopping, you might like to wander around the mall. You might even wander around for hours and not buy anything. Not my kind of entertainment, but maybe it's yours. You can wander around an office. If you work in a big office, you can walk up and down the corridors, go to different floors, chat with people, network. I just finished the Walter Isaacson biography of Elon Musk, and the book talks about how Musk likes to wander around the Tesla and SpaceX factories talking to the engineers. He wanders around. He casually goes from place to place talking to his employees. Where else can you wander around? You can wander around a museum. If it's a small museum, I like to go in order. I want a strategy. I'll go room to room. But sometimes if the museum is really big, I like to wander around, to walk around without a strategy or plan. You can wander around a park, a playground, or a zoo. I told you about my trip to Oaxaca. I went to the Botanic Gardens there. Now, typically, you can wander around the Botanic Gardens, but this one was different. This was a guided tour. You had to follow the path. You have to follow the tour guide. You're not allowed to wander around. And that is all for today's Plain English. Nice job. You've got a new expression, a new phrasal verb to use, and you can practice using it too and get direct, personal, human feedback from me if you want to. It's all at plainenglish.com. Right on the page with the transcript of this episode, there's a practice area at the bottom. You just write a sentence using wander around, and I'll read it and give you feedback. If you have any questions, you can ask me directly in there too. Now, the transcript part is free. The personal feedback on your writing is one of the benefits of Plain English Plus. So make all your mistakes right there at plainenglish.com so that when you go out in the real world, you're equipped, you're confident, you're prepared to use wander around and the hundreds of other expressions that we have at plainenglish.com. That's all for today. We'll be back on Thursday with part 2 of today's story. See you then.